in thy precious hope, deeper and deeper, oh, deeper it I pray. Oh, and heart every day, and wise a blessing, oh, in thy precious holy word.
God bless you.
Amen.
When I remember what the Lord has done, I will never go back anymore. When I remember what the Lord has done, I will never go back anymore. No, 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 I will never go back anymore. No, 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 I will never go back anymore. When I remember what the Lord has done, I will never go back anymore. When I remember what the Lord has done, I will never go back anymore. No, 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 I will never go back anymore.
Sing a chorus and we'll ask the
duvets, as Brother Eric says. Sister Duve, he says they're a warm family.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Oh.
We praise you, we praise you, we praise you.
Amen. Honey in the rock, dripping from the honey cone. Amen. Let's sing that song. You are the temple of the living God. Let's think about it while we sing it. Because if you are, you've got to live like the temple.
Walking up the seven steps unto perfection.
walking up the seven steps. Walking up the seven steps. Words of life,
words of life,
words of hope, give us faith, oh Lord, help us to go in this world wherever we roam. Ancient words will guide us, ancient word, ancient words, ever true, changing me. Ch
Father, we've come into this place upon this day with open hearts.
Hallelujah.
Let the ancient words impart. Father, let the life that's in your word, the power of transformation, Lord, your creative power, Father, let it come and flow into us upon this day, into every soul, every spirit, every body, to every, Lord, circumstance, every situation, Lord, your words of healing, Father, your words of life. Your words of light, Father, your words of correction, Father, your words of exhortation, Father, whatsoever it would be, Lord, we come to submit ourselves unto thee upon this day and say, Lord, speak, Lord, thy servant waits to hear from you. Father, we desire fresh instructions from you, that, Father, may be better equipped to fight this great battle that we end, Lord. Father, we want to wage warfare against spiritual wickedness in high places. Father, we want, Lord, to put our resources against all works of darkness, that, Father, Lord, your kingdom may be established, Lord, that every stronghold of the enemy, Lord, may be demolished, is our prayer, may be brought to nothing, Lord, that, Father, your spirit and your will and your work and your word may flow freely in our midst, in our lives, Father, that, Lord, you may indeed have the preeminence. So bless your people upon this day and bless your word unto us. And everything that would be said and done, Father, your will be done. Be glorified in it, we pray. Father, bring in our prayer requests unto thee. Brother Vlad, we pray for him at work. May you watch over him, Lord, we pray. Father, do pray for Brother Alex, Sister Olga, not able to come. We pray that you'd make a way for them. That, Father, all that the enemy would desire to do, to keep them from your house. Father, we just send forth your word. Let your divine energy go forth and break every fetter. Father, Lord, loosen every chain. Open every door, set every captive free. Father, we thank you for grace. We thank you for goodness. We thank you for this day. Even bless our baptism service, Lord, that we'd have upon this day. Be glorified in these things. We ask them gathering in like manner. Brother Christian, we pray for him. Bless him and the saints there, Lord. Brother Tom, Brother Billy, Brother George Quinn. Father, be with your people. Father, minister to your people. Father, we're glad to be in your house. We're glad to be your sons and your daughters this day. We're glad to worship you, Lord. Father, help us as you open up your word. In Jesus' name, amen, amen, amen. God bless you, saints. As we pray there, let's keep Brother Olga, Sister Olga, Brother Alex in prayer, and Brother Vlad. Brother Gora and Sister Valentina are saying, Lord, thank you for a new beginning, new jobs. Everything is possible to you. So we do thank the Lord for that. Amen.
Hallelujah.
Just one quick announcement is, in 2 weeks' time, not next weekend, but the weekend after, Brother Crosby is going to be with us. So we've really asked him to come to wage warfare. So I said, Brother Crosby, come, let's have a deliverance weekend. So he's going to be coming. We'll announce full details of that. So let's really keep the brother. And Brother Greg and I won't be here. We're going to be in Poland. Been invited by Brother Jacek there to go for quite some time. He phoned, and now finally everything has gone through. It's Brother Daniel Mazur's pastor, his church. And that's where Brother Greg's brother goes to church as well. So just pray for us as we go there. Amen. Let's open 2 Corinthians chapter 10. Let's look at a thought of spiritual strongholds. Spiritual strongholds. We'll see that what Paul is speaking about in 2 Corinthians chapter 10 from verse 3 up to verse 5. We read 3 and 4 on Friday. When the Bible says, for though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. Now, so we saw it on Friday that you can't fight spiritual battles without spiritual armor. Now, you can't fight a spiritual battle when you're in a carnal condition. You know, when you try to go and fight against darkness, you know, darkness is spiritual, so you need to have on the whole armor of God. And many times you're trying to use carnal weapons, carnal tactics, use psychology, emotion, all those different things to fight our battles instead of getting in the spirit and using the weapon of truth. Because it's the truth that makes people free. You know, you can never withstand the truth. But verse 5, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. That would be quite a thing. To bring into obedience, to bring into captivity every thought. Yeah, to bring it to the obedience of Christ. You know, every thought that you have, every thought you think about a brother, about a sister, about circumstances in your life, the Lord is saying there that we have weapons which are mighty through God. We can demolish strongholds and we can come to a place that our thoughts are brought subject to the will of God. That even when reasoning wants to come in, you know, your imagination wants to try to rule you, your memory wants to come and try to play a role in your decision making, you bring those things captive to the obedience of Christ. I'm sure that's your desire. Let's be seated, saints. So we're looking at this thought of spiritual strongholds. Now, the first thing that we need to bear in mind is the spiritual dimension of words. Words are not just words. It's not just something which passes through the air. No, there's always a motive, there's an objective, there's a spirit behind everything that's said. That's why in Proverbs 18, we know that Solomon, he speaks so much, if you read the Proverbs, about words, about the things that you say. There's something so important about it. He says, death and life are in the power of the tongue. So there's these two different resources, there's two different spirits that can govern words. No, there's evil, which is going to lead to death. And there's righteousness, there's the Holy Ghost, and that's all that's going to bring life. Because it says death and life are in the power of the tongue. That's that spiritual dimension. Jesus said it is the spirit that quickens. He says the flesh profits nothing. He says the words that I speak to you are spirit and they're life. So when Jesus would speak, so a genuine something said which is imbued with the power of the Holy Ghost, it imparts life. It imparts this creative power in words. But on the other hand, when somebody is anointed by darkness and they speak with criticism and they speak in anger, and you know, the motive and objective is to pull down. Now, there's an evil agenda. There's a power in those words as well. Now, there's something about it. So we can impart with our words. When you speak, you're imparting something to somebody, which is going to be either good or evil, depending on the spirit that's anointing you when you speak those words. And that's determined by your motive and your objective. That's determined by your spiritual condition. So you can, the prophet says, Sister Hattie, I give you your two boys. That was words. But there was a spiritual something in those words. There was a creative power in those words. But on the other hand, in Numbers, the Lord said, how long shall I bear with this evil congregation with murmur against me? Remember when the spies came back and gave a good report and the people didn't want to receive the good report from the two, but rather accepted the evil report that came from the 10. And then the people started to murmur and said, it was better that we should perish in this wilderness rather than that we should go and die in the land. And the Lord says, I have heard the murmurings of the children of Israel, which murmur against me. Say unto them, as truly as I live, saith the Lord, as you have spoken in mine ears, so will I do to you. No, so your words can exclude you from eternal life. You can blaspheme the Holy Ghost. Now you can get so anointed by the devil that you can speak words that completely disqualify you from any divine blessing. Or you can speak words like they did that kept them from the promise. You can speak things. You can speak so negatively. You can get right down in the valley when your spiritual arm is not the way that it should be. And you can say things that have deep, deep consequences. Things that don't only affect you, affect your family, affect your children. If there was a generation to come, you can speak things that affects the generation to come. We've got to be so careful of what we say. Because there's a spiritual dimension in words. We can inflict trauma on people with our words. We can inflict wounds on people. You know, we can speak over our children and we can, you know, so much disqualify them down the way from excelling in the things that they do because we've spoken into them such negativity. And those words that we've spoken have had such an impact that they wound and they scar and they leave these long-term consequences in the lives of people. And sometimes we just continue on thinking that we did nothing wrong. Not realizing the power that death and life is in the power of the tongue. That there's a real power in these things. David said it in Psalm 42. He says, as with a sword in my bones, mine enemies reproach me when they say daily unto me, where's his God? You know, so this approach, this criticism that these people were saying against David, speaking evil of him when he was in the midst of his trial. When he's in the midst of this dark period, this valley inside of his life, that these people, when they were speaking, it wasn't just them speaking. It was the devil trying to take advantage to try to wear this man down. The devil could see David was in his commission, he's in his calling. He could see now he was in the low point. It was an opportunity for the devil. So the devil came and anointed people and made sure that David heard those words that those people said. That reproach that the people said, and David said, as with a sword in my bones. That's why, friends, you can affect somebody's health by the things that you say. Not only their spiritual condition, but the spiritual links to the physical. Medical science proves it over and over again. You can speak and speak and speak to somebody until you make that person physically sick. You can bring stress upon people. You can bring nervous breakdowns upon people by the things that you say. Oh, friends, there's power in words. We've got to be so careful of this dimension of things that what the dimension we're speaking from when we say these things. In Proverbs chapter 12, verse 18, Solomon says, there is that speaketh like the piercings of a sword. He says, but the tongue of the wise is health. So there's these two different sides. Sometimes it can be like the piercing of a sword. Someone can say something and it's so hard. It's pierced you. When a sword pierces you, it leaves a wound. And it takes time for that wound to heal. And sometimes it leaves a scar that's there for the rest of your life. So he says, there's that which speaketh like the piercings of a sword. But the tongue of the wise is health. Oh, friends, let's put on the whole armor of God. So that when we speak, it's the sword of the Spirit. Not the piercings of this kind of a sword. But we can pierce people like a sword. Or we can use the sword of the Spirit. It just depends on what spiritual condition we're in. What's active inside of our soul. What's governing us at the time that we speak. It's very important, the things that we say. And that's why we can see these two sides now of words. Of what we say. And that's why also there's two sides to criticism. You know, whenever we have share criticism or correction, whatever you want to call it, there's always two sides. And we need to discern the spirit behind something before we either accept it or we reject it. Sometimes we're too quick to reject it when we shouldn't. And sometimes we're too quick to accept it when we shouldn't. You know, the Bible says, prove all things and hold fast to that which is good. You know, so there's times, there's, on the one side, there's divine correction. This divine correction through the body of Christ. As many as I love, I rebuke and I chasten. Yeah? God is in the business of correction. Which of you having children corrects them not? James says, you being, you know, people of the flesh, you correct them after the flesh for their well-being. Yeah? How much more your Father? Proverbs chapter 27, verse 5. Let's read this one together. Proverbs 27 verse 5. Open rebuke, which is correction, is better than secret love. You know, you can say you love me and you leave me in something which is wrong. I'd rather you give me open rebuke rather than keep your love in secret. Rather correct me open, not in front of a whole lot of other people. Obviously, I mean, it's not saying that kind of open. But come and be open to me. You know, if you love me and you see that this isn't really going to be good for you, you know, you should come to me. I should come to you. Open rebuke is better than secret love. Look at the next verse, verse 6. Faithful, verse 6, not verse 7. Faithful are the wounds of a friend. Sometimes we as friends, we have to wound each other. Sometimes you've got to take out the sword. Sometimes you've got to deal faithfully with one another. And the other person doesn't appreciate it at the time. But it's time to prune the branch. It's time to uproot something. It's time to break something down. Maybe the devil's building a stronghold in the life of a person. And you've got to come and wage warfare against that to say, my friend, that relationship you're in isn't going to be any good for you. I remember Nathan coming to David. That was the wounds of a friend. He came to him and told him, you are the man. Remember when he came and he exposed the evil that the man was doing inside of his life? Our friends, faithful are the wounds of a friend. But it continues on and it says, but the kisses of an enemy are deceitful. The kisses of an enemy. Oh, God bless you. God bless you. Yet inside of your heart, you see me doing something which I shouldn't be doing and you keep quiet about it. That's the kisses. That's what says the kisses of an enemy are deceitful. You know, we don't want to be enemies like that. You know, sometimes, but the devil wants to turn this whole thing around. Now, because the devil knows this principle that it's the truth that sets us free. So when he starts playing in our mind, he starts getting a stronghold inside of our life. We start listening to the enemy, not knowing that we're listening to the enemy. We start changing in our attitude, changing in our behavior. Somebody comes to us now to try to help us in that situation. And instead of seeing that this is the wounds of a friend, we start looking at it as being an enemy. And instead of allowing, and Satan knows that he wants to bring us in that situation that we become too sensitive. That even when it's time for a friend to come and wound us, to help us, you know, we build up barricades and strongholds inside of our lives and we're too sensitive. We don't accept criticism. Don't accept correction. We don't accept the rebuke of a friend. Friend, you're in a dangerous condition when you get to that place. When you can't accept rebuke. The prophet said a Holy Ghost-filled person can receive correction. And it shows when we can't receive the correction, we don't have on the full armor of God. There's a chink. There's a weakness in our armor. There's something wrong spiritually. Like Brother Lubanza was preaching, there's some sickness in the soul. Now there's something down inside of there. Maybe it's wounds from the past. Maybe it's scars from previous battles. Maybe it's strongholds the enemy has built in our lives through complexes and different things. But when a friend comes to you to tear down something so that the right thing can be built up, and we put up the barricade or we take an offense or something like that, it's a sure sign down there in the spiritual realm something's not right. We haven't got on the full armor of God. We're not spiritually prepared and in a spiritual condition the way that we should be. Our friends, because we need to accept rebuke. What about Proverbs 28 verse 23? Proverbs 28, 23. He that rebuketh a man, that means to reason together, to correct. He that rebuketh, it doesn't mean you're just rebuking, but you're trying to say to somebody, hey, brother, it's not good for you to do this. Can't you see this isn't going to be for your good? Can't you see this is hindering you in your progress? Or sister, can't you see that this is wrong what you're doing? It's not just rebuking in anger. That's not what it's speaking about. It's reasoning with somebody, correcting somebody, trying to point out the danger or the fault that that person's getting themselves into. But it says, he that rebuketh a man afterwards shall find more favor than he that flattereth with his tongue. And you learn that. Friends, you start to say, but this is my real friend because he came to me and he was honest with me. But this person kept quiet all the time, yet they knew that this problem was happening inside of my life, inside of my home, with my children, whatever that it is. Our friends, let's be true friends to one another. Because Jesus is a friend who sticks closer to a brother. And he doesn't withhold the truth from us. But it's the truth in love, because he's our friend. But he's going to come to us when we're wrong, like he's going to do to Peter. He's going to say, get behind me, Satan. Because you are savoring the things that belong to men, not the things that belong to God. You're esteeming fleshly things. Hey, get yourself in the spirit and understand spiritual things. Friends, it's very important if we want to grow as believers, if we want to move beyond different obstacles Satan throws in our path, if we want to move to the next stage in our adoption, we've got to keep ourselves in a condition we can accept correction. We've got to be teachable. We've got to be humble. We've got to be able to accept rebuke and correction. But Satan knows that. If you can put the slides, I went and fished out some real old slides from the old timers will know it from 2003 when we did spiritual warfare. But I just had done this years back and I went and I pulled it up. Let's read one more while the brothers get that. Look in Job 5 verse 17. We'll read this while the brothers get the slides. Job 5 17. Behold, happy is the man whom God correcteth. Therefore despise not thou the chastening of the Almighty. Verse 18. For he maketh sore and bindeth up. He woundeth and his hands make whole. The Lord said to Jeremiah, Jeremiah, you need to go there and you need to break down. Then you build. You need to tear up. Then you plant. Sometimes you can't plant. You've got to pull things out first. Sometimes you can't go and build because there's something already there. There's a stronghold. There's a building there that shouldn't be there. So before you can build the right thing, you need to break down the thing that's there that shouldn't be there. So friends, let's not despise the rebuke of the Lord. Sometimes the Lord, he sees you building something in your life and he knows, no, I have the real thing I want built. And he comes to demolish that thing. And you take an offense to say, but why is it like this? Because he has a long-term goal. He's trying to break this down so he can build the right thing. He's trying to uproot this so that he can plant the right thing to get the right harvest. That's the way the word is. That's why sometimes the word has to demolish. Sometimes the word, it just has to come and just crush your plans. Crush your thoughts and ideas because they don't come from God. And they're not going to work the way that God wants things to work inside of your life. Now look at the plan of it here. We know the field of battle. We looked at it. Now, God's desire is to bring truth to the soul. And then he has the preeminence. So you will know the truth. The truth shall set you free. But this truth has to go through your five spiritual senses, including your imagination, your reasoning, yeah, your memories. It's got to go through this gauntlet of this battleground. Go to the next one, bro. If you go to the next slide, if you can. If you can. If not, you'll have to use word images to explain what the next slide is. While the brothers do that, let's read this one. I really like this psalm. Psalm 141, verse 5. Psalm 141, verse 5. Listen to David, a man after God's own heart, what he says. Psalm 141, verse 5. He says, let the righteous smite me. It shall be a kindness. Hey, let him reprove me. It shall be an excellent oil, which shall not break my head. And then he says, for yet my prayer shall also be in their calamities. He says, if somebody comes and smites me and helps me, when they have their hard time, I'm going to be praying for that person. Because that's a person that's worthy of prayer. Because when I was in my misfortune, I'll read it again. Let the righteous smite me. It shall be a kindness. Let him reprove me. It shall be an excellent oil, which shall not break my head. Oh, friends, but we Laodicea now. That's people's rights. You know, don't step on my toes. It's my turf. Don't come into my turf. Don't get too close, you know. I don't need any help. I know what I'm doing. No, 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 friends. You can't be a Christian and a Laodicean. It's impossible. You can't have the blessing of God and the atmosphere of Laodicea inside of your life at the same time. And what did the Lord say to Laodicea? Be zealous, therefore, and repent. As many as I love, I rebuke and I chasten. Be zealous, therefore, and repent. Oh, friends, you've got to be careful of these kind of things. So the second thing is the enemy now, yeah? If your whole armor is there, if you're in the right spiritual condition, You got the breastplate of righteousness like we saw on Friday. You got an uncondemned heart. All is well in the subconscious as well as all is well in your conscious. You don't have something down there which is broadcasting at the wrong frequency, the wrong vibration like the prophet says in your soul. Everything's in place. You got the shield of faith. You got the sword of the spirit. You got the helmet of salvation. Your loins girded about with truth. It doesn't matter about the fiery darts of the enemy. He's going to try to say this against a brother, say this against a sister. He's going to anoint people to say this and that against you, trying to reproach you, trying to criticize you unjustly. But because there's that, the strong man's there. He's going to withhold. It's never going to get to your soul. It's never going to build up a stronghold inside of your life. It's not going to get you. All that's said and all that's done that comes against you isn't going to make you make the wrong decision. It's not going to turn you from the course that you're supposed to be on. But now, let's look at the last one, if we can. We might have to read the scripture again. Ah, good. Now, this is what Satan wants to do. He wants to build his strongholds here. He wants to come in the battlefield. That's why he chose the mind. Yeah, the spiritual womb as the battlefield. He wants to come and work inside of it and build a stronghold. So that when the truth does come, it doesn't get to the soul. It doesn't set you free. Amen. So when a brother comes to you, a sister comes to you with correction or with truth to say, brother, it's not right for you to be in that relationship. Or sister, you shouldn't be doing this kind of a thing. There's a barrier here. Maybe it's from past experience. Maybe it's from false religion you were under before. Whatever. It's like a complex. And something's been built up there and the word it comes and something blocks the word. And that word can never achieve the purpose because you need to know the truth for the truth to set you free. The truth has to hit the soul to set you free. And this is the battleground. So this is what you're saying. This is what Paul is speaking about here. The weapons of our warfare are mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. Friends, we need to do that. And when someone's too sensitive, there's a stronghold. Maybe they didn't build it themselves. We don't build these things intentionally. It's the devil in the greatest battle ever fought. He's the one who establishes these things. He brings his darkness and he brings it into that spiritual realm. And he establishes something in your memory, something in your imagination, something in your reasoning that is so real to you that blocks the effect of what God is wanting to do inside of your life. And then you would have done so well as a believer. You would have prospered. God leads you and blesses you and brings you up to a certain place. And then Satan gets in, establishes something, and you stop growing. And you can't go any further towards your adoption. And then the Lord wants to come to demolish that stronghold. But you've got to be careful because you've got a complex. You take it personally now. You don't want to accept correction. You don't want to accept the rebuke of a friend. You won't go any further towards your adoption. Satan stopped you on the battleground. You're not going any further. You're not going any higher in heavenly places until you deal with this thing that's holding you back from your destiny and from your purpose. And this is what the objective of Satan is. This is what he works at. This is what he's trying to do all the time. He knows the makeup of man. He knows the body, soul, and spirit. He chose the mind as the battlefield. He chose that realm of the human spirit because he knows he can bring his shadows in there. He can bring his darkness in there. He can bring his half-truths. He can come and he can work and he's got to build and establish things in that realm. But we have weapons. Amen. Yeah, we have weapons. We have the message of the hour, friends. The message of that doesn't matter what stronghold Satan establishes in this age. If you just put on the whole armor of God, yeah? You just put that full armor on. You get in the spirit like we said on Friday. Like Esther at first, she didn't have the whole armor of God on. And here came a challenge. The enemy had come in, yeah? Like a flood, she didn't have the armor on. Mordecai realized the seriousness of the situation. He took off his clothes, he fasted and he prayed. Because he realized this isn't just flesh and blood we're wrestling against here. This isn't just Haman. There's an evil behind Haman. This is the wiles of the enemy. This is his strategies against us. But at first, Esther, she was caught without having the full armor on. She wasn't prepared. Then she had to say, look, 3 days. Me and my maidens will fast, you fast. And then she put on the whole armor of God. Then she put on her royal robes. Then she went in before the king. And she overcame. And friends, that's the key. That's what you were saying on Friday. If you want to resolve darkness, if one of your children is overtaken by darkness, if darkness has come in a relationship between you and somebody else, the devil's established something between you, don't be too quick to try to go and sort it out using your carnal means. Because the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, Paul said, but are mighty through God to the bringing down of these strongholds. It's through the Spirit, David and Goliath. David didn't try to use the same weapons as Goliath. He could never match Goliath on his terms like that. Saul wanted to put the armor on David. David says, I don't need this kind of armor. He says, what I do is I go in the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. David had the full armor on. He was the only one on the battlefield at that time who had the correct armor on. He had come from the green pastures. He had come from the anointing of the prophet's horn. The Spirit had come upon him. He had seen the lion, seen the bear be destroyed. When he came, he had on the whole armor of God. And that's why he went like that onto the battlefield. He didn't have any carnal armor. The weapons of his warfare were not carnal to the bringing down of the stronghold. He went in the name of the Lord. Amen. He went anointed with a commission that had been given to him, that had been ministered to him. And he was walking in the spirit of his commission. He had that whole armor of God on. And that's why when David came to the battlefield, Goliath comes, what does David say to him? He says, you come, yeah, with sword and spear. But I come in the name of the Lord. Amen. Can you see? Both of them, it was a carnal war, carnal weapons against spiritual weapons. But only one's going to win. When a man's walking in the will of God. So it's so very, very important. These strongholds that Satan tries to bring. He knows, he studies us. The prophet said he's looking for that chink in the armor. He's looking for that place. He knows, oh, this person is so sensitive to criticism. That's what I'm going to use there. I'm going to lead them astray a little bit, get them a little bit out of the position of their calling, and I'm going to establish a stronghold inside of their life. I'm going to bring a complex into them. So even if somebody comes now, even if the word comes, even if the spirit comes to bring them back on course, I've already put a stronghold there. I've built my defense against the word of God in the life of this person. And that's what Jesus did when he met the woman at the well. He found there was plenty of strongholds. Religious prejudice, racial prejudice. She said, you a Jew, me, I'm a Samaritan. We worship in the mountain, you worship in Jerusalem. Jesus knew, the devil's been here. And Jesus found exactly the way to contact her soul. He knew how to go through all of those strongholds and get to the soul. And that set her free. Then everything else, all those strongholds came crumbling down once he said, I am he that speaks to you. That revelation that came to her soul, it's really, really very important. Now, honest criticism. The prophet calls it honest criticism. Let us bear this in mind. We're speaking of divine correction. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Yeah? The prophet says, and from that time, we've spoken of this once before. He said, I went to breakfast when I came back. He was out preaching in a certain place. He says, there was a 22-page letter in a little pigeonhole to me. How the man ever knew I was there, I don't know. So I read it and, you talk about good criticism. It was good. I appreciate that. I certainly do. Any man that's really got a point, who's really got a point, and wants to criticize, that checks us up. That checks us up. You don't go to the doctor just for him to check everything that's healthy. You're wanting him to tell you where you're not healthy and what you can do to repair it, to fix that problem. We come to church, the moment the word comes to correct us, we don't want to be in the doctor's surgery anymore. How are you ever going to be better if you can't accept the diagnosis of the word? Because friends, we are always prone, as long as we're in this body, as long as we have a body, soul, and a spirit, we are prone to spiritual disease. Amen. Satan's always finding ways to come, and he's been doing this for thousands of years. That's why when the spirit comes down to discern the thoughts and intents of the heart, when the spirit comes down and gets into the word, gets into the message of the heart, that's why the prophet's not popular. Because he didn't play. The prophet came with truth, anointed truth. And most people in Laodicea don't want truth. They want to die in their lukewarm condition. But to the bride, we don't want to be lukewarm. We want the truth. Because only the truth can set us free. So he says, any man that's really got a point and wants to criticize, that checks us up. You know, a criticism makes a good product when we're willing to receive it. Criticism makes a good product when we're willing to receive it. He says, but test it. So let's look at the motive. If somebody comes to you to say, brother, sister, I don't agree with this. I don't agree with that you're doing. I don't think this is good, the way you're conducting yourself. That wasn't right that you did there. Prove all things. What's the motive? What's the objective? What's the spirit behind this person? Is this your enemy? Is this the devil anointing this person? Well, then reject it. But if it's genuine, you can see this is my brother. This is my sister. This is somebody who cares for me. They didn't have to come and speak to me like this. It was far easier for them just to have sat at home with a cup of tea. But for them to come out of their way, to come to me and sit down with me and tell me these things, though these things may wound me, because faithful are the wounds of a friend. Though these things may be painful to me, but I can tell the motive and objective of what's being done. This is grace to me. The prophet says, when we're willing to receive it, it makes a good product. He says, so I sat down and I addressed him. He wrote back to the man. After he first told me he thought I was a devil, he told me I was a soothsayer. Yeah? I said, dear beloved brother. You see, the prophet had on the whole armor of God, friends. But if the prophet hadn't have got it, like you'll see later in Standing in the Gap, when the devil came to try to establish a stronghold, a complex in the life of the prophet, it became difficult for the prophet to accept correction, rebuke, reproach. Not divine creed, but people who had come and criticized him. He took it personally now. And now there was a stronghold. Now he wants to head out. He wants to leave the field. Wants to go out to Alaska. Satan knows what he's doing, friends. He knows what he's doing. If there's great people of the caliber that have gone before us, that he's established strongholds inside of their lives, and God had to work in mighty ways to destroy those strongholds. How about you and me? He's going to do his work. So I said, dear beloved brother, I was glad to get your letter. I'm always glad for friendly criticism. It helps me. It helps you, the prophet says, if you'll just take it that way. He says, yes, sir. Let somebody criticize you. You might have some spots that ought to be cleared up. Who here is perfect? No one. Who here doesn't have spots that need to be cleared up? Who here doesn't have places in your calling that you're immature? Places that you make mistakes. Places that we're deceived in our understanding of things. But if the devil can bring a stronghold here, a complex, a sensitivity, we cut off from divine assistance. We cut off from being able to overcome, go any further inside of our calling. That's why Satan does these things. That's why he anoints words and anoints people, and he comes and we'll see and plays in our mind in the imagination. That's the realm that he likes to come and operate in. And Paul says we need to cast down these imaginations. And these reasonings that exalt themselves above the knowledge of God. But sometimes you've had them for so long, or they've been established piece by piece, brick by brick over a long period of time, until we don't realize what Satan has built inside of us. We don't realize. We don't realize. Until somebody comes and then you act exactly contrary to the word. You say, well, hey, never expected that. But it's the devil. It doesn't mean the person's a real son or daughter of God. But there's spots that ought to be cleared up, the prophet says. So criticism helps us to check whether we've got the whole armor of God. Helps us to see, is everything girt the way that it should be? Are the loins girt the way that they should be? Is the armor in place the way that it should be? Criticism helps us to see when the armor is slipping, or when we're letting things down, or we're relaxing on certain things that we shouldn't. Now, on the other hand, there's the devil's criticism. So there's divine correction. That's why life and death is in the power of the tongue. Same with criticism. There's going to be criticism, correction that comes from God. There's going to be criticism that comes from the devil. And we need to discern that. We need to prove all things. Because Satan also comes to bring these kinds of things against us. Now, listen how the prophet explains this about Jesus. He's speaking about Jesus with blind Bartimaeus. And he says, all of the people were there along the side of the road. Yeah, Bartimaeus was sitting there. And people were saying all manner of things about Jesus. Some were saying, he's the Messiah. Oh, he's the son of David. But the vast majority weren't saying that. They were saying, he's a devil. He does these things to Beelzebub. Yeah? That's what they were saying. And the prophet says, listen, I'm going to say something. He says, faith is unconscious. He says, I've learned that in years of traveling around the world. Faith is unconscious. You've got faith and you don't even know it. Jesus Christ, no matter if he was in a storm, yeah, the gales knocking the boat from one side to the other, or if he was standing in the face of a mess of demons, if he was hanging anywhere on the cross, it never moved him. He walked right along just as calm and quiet as he could be. Why? He was simply unconscious of fear or anything around him. He lived in such a faith dimension. That's why we said on Friday, you've got to live in a faith dimension for these things to work. He lived in a faith dimension. No, the kingdom of God was so real to him. His commission was so real to him. The will of his Father was so real to him. It was such a substance, it was such a reality that he had, that all these other things that people said, they just were like water off a duck's back. He didn't worry. If you go back to the previous slide, you'll see that's exactly what it is. It didn't matter what people shot at him. It didn't matter what people said. Yeah, some of the things that could be said when Judas betrayed him, it would have an effect in his humanity. But he had quickly girded up the armor again, shake that off, back in the line of battle once again. That's how he was. The prophet says, that's right. Whatever was going to happen, what wasn't going to happen, he knew God said so. Yeah? He just walked right on unconscious. He knew the words must be fulfilled, and he knew that it was his life to fulfill them. So he had on the full armor of God. And Satan can't do much to us when we're in that kind of a condition. But we're not always in that condition. There's times we're in the valley now. And the prophet says, and you're here to fulfill it too. So you have your commission. You have your portion of the word that you are to fulfill inside of your life. Every single one of us have a portion of the word that we are to fulfill. Now, if that's real to us, that's when the armor of God is on. When we're walking in that realm, when you're walking with substance faith, when our calling, when there's a divine reality, friends, it doesn't matter if 10 people you meet in the day call you the devil. It doesn't affect you. Because you've got the shield of faith. Yeah, your faith is real. It's a substance. It's a weapon. It's mighty. It's a defense. Doesn't matter what comes from that other dimension. You're living in this dimension. Doesn't matter what comes from that dimension. The prophet says, you're here to fulfill it. So, just walk unconscious of fear. Walk unconscious of criticism. Now, the devil doesn't want us to do this. He doesn't want us to be in that condition. He wants us that when we're starting to walk in our commission, we're starting to get somewhere, we're starting to challenge the work of darkness, somebody criticizes us. And now we're not unconscious to that criticism. Now we pay attention. Oh, that person said that against me. And then we go home and we lie in our beds. And it's going through our mind. We start to meditate upon those things. We start to entertain those things. And Satan starts to establish a stronghold. Yeah. And now all of a sudden, instead of being in substance faith to fulfill our calling, we're listening to the devil. We're fighting unnecessary battles. We're dealing with unnecessary things. We're building things which are not the real thing inside of our life. And Satan knows this weakness inside of people. And depending on our temperament, depending on our upbringing, some are far more sensitive to these things than others. Some it's anger that's going to be their problem. Some it's women, passion, that's going to be their problem. But some people, it's just oversensitivity. So sensitive that the moment something's said to try to help them, you'll know there's the devil's fingerprints there, sure as the world. The devil's been working there, but you can't do it. And that person must realize it themselves. They must realize and say, but why do I react like this? Why can't I just accept it? Even if it's said in a hard way, let me filter it and take the truth and reject the that was in right. Let me prove all things and hold fast to that which is good. But some of us, friends, Satan's been at work. And he's built something, the stronghold inside of the spiritual realm. And it's a complex, it's a sensitivity. And until we overcome that, you'll find you'll never go any further in your calling. You'll never rise any higher. Because God's trying to correct you. God's trying to pull certain things down so he can establish the real thing. But you keep resisting what he's trying to do because you're too sensitive. You won't allow him to do it. The prophet says, walk. As you walk, walk in Christ. Walk with him, not paying any attention to the right hand or to the left. Just keep moving on. If something comes up in the church, walk with God. Don't get diverted from what you're supposed to do and go and get yourself involved in all other things. It's got nothing to do with you. And then you're paying attention now to the devil. And you've been distracted from the real thing. Our friends, we all do it, don't we? But the prophet was there to help us. It says, if sickness strikes you, walk with God. If you're going to go and listen to all the diagnosis of the doctor and go home with your x-rays and your medical reports and be meditating on them, how are you ever going to expect to be healed from that? But in the end, you say, okay, well, that's what medical science says, but that's not what God says. God didn't say that to me, so I'm going to walk with God. If sickness strikes you, walk with God. If the neighbor doesn't like you, walk with God. You weren't called by your neighbor, you were called by God. You weren't commissioned by your neighbor, so why give so much attention to them? And then now you're not giving attention to the one that commissioned you. The prophet says, walk with God. Just keep walking with God. Enoch one day walked like that. And you know what he did? He walked all the way home with God. Got so far up the road, he didn't want to come back anymore. And that's how Jesus walked. That was perfect faith. The prophet preaches in perfect faith. But Satan's going to wage this warfare, friends, because he knows how dangerous you are as a believer when you're walking in that realm. So he's going to do everything that he can, use all the weapons, all his guile, all his wiles to move you out of that position. That's what he wants. The prophet says, walk with God. If the doctor says you're going to die, walk with God. For God has promised you, I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. I'll be with you to the end of the road. That's a great promise. Then he says it in blind Bartimaeus. He says, what was Jesus doing? Why did Jesus not pay attention to the criticism? Why didn't he stop? He's on his way to Calvary. He's on his way to Jerusalem, yeah? To pay for our salvation. All of this criticism, they're trying to catch him with questions. They're trying to question his birth. They're trying to say all these evil, slanderous things against him. He never responds to one of them. Never responds. Oh, friends, he was in another dimension. Amen. He had something far more real than those things. But when we come down from that dimension now, yeah, and the armor now, it's not the way that it should be spiritually, now we start to pay attention. Now we start getting sidetracked. The prophet says he's going right straight to Jerusalem to be offered up as a sacrifice. The weight of every sin ever committed or ever would be committed, rested upon his precious shoulders. And he knew that. He was a big man. He was small in stature, Jesus. But he was a big man. When people say bad things about you, if you can just go on and forget it, it shows that you are a big man. Oh, my. Don't you want to be big men and women, spiritually? When somebody says something against you, filter it and say, that's the devil. That's not true. But when a brother comes to your sister, the deacon, the pastor, your husband, if you're a wife, or a child, your parents, and come and say, sit down, please, I need to speak to you. Can't you see the dangerous situation you're getting into? You're not praying these days. You're not listening to messages anymore. Is this going to work out for your good? Look at the way that you've got temper. Look at the way that you're behaving. And then now, wah, 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 you can't accept it. You're on dangerous ground. How can God help you? Do you want God to speak straight from the sky? Are you expecting to be like Brother Ram? You hear an audible voice? No, it doesn't work like that. He works through the body now. It's the body ministering to the body. But each of us have our own temperament. So sometimes someone is going to come with divine truth. God told them to say to you. But because they're rough, they're going to put it to you rough. Yeah. Not everybody's made the same way. Some people are going to come without much maybe etiquette in the way they approach you about it. And they're going to come and kick down the door just about and say, hey, time for you to stop doing this. Can't you see it's not doing you any good? But it's just as much God trying to help you as it is when somebody comes all politely to you. It's still, if you can filter out the human side and say, but what is the motive? What is the objective? What is the spirit behind this person doing this? It's God trying to help me. It's God trying to minister me further on. It's God trying to break down strongholds that Satan's working inside of my life. He says he was a big man. He says little men can't tamper with it. But he was too big to listen to their criticism. He had one thing to do. That was his father's will. He had to die for those men. Those same ones that were speaking against him. He knew, my friend, if only you knew, I'm going to die for you. Oh. And how do you know the person that criticizes you? You might not be the very person through your attitude that you're going to win them to Christ. The prophet says that person's salvation, their eternal destination may be resting on your attitude towards them. Amen. That's what he said. That person's attitude, your attitude is going to determine that person's destination. Oh, friends, let's not come down and fight carnal battles. Let's not come down and use carnal weapons. Because the weapons of our warfare are mighty through God. To the pulling down of these strongholds. Oh, but Satan knows, you know, that we are a threefold being. Listen how he explains it in another way. He explains it using Aaron going beyond the veil. And he says, when Aaron went beyond the veil and the curtain dropped, he said it was soundproof. He didn't hear what was going on out there. He was in the presence of the Shekinah. Here was the manna that was always fresh. Do you think it mattered when people say nya, 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 nya out there? If Aaron being in the very Shekinah presence of God, when God speaking to him saying, you are my high priest. I separated you from your brethren. I clothed you the way that you are. I appointed you to this divine service. And some other Dathan, Abram, and Korah out there saying, nya, 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 we should be the high priest. Do you think it worried Aaron when he was there? But if he came out of there and he went home and took off the high priest's garments and put on his old things and went into the fields and got himself dirty and dusty and hadn't been in prayer and hadn't been in the word for some time, then Dathan, Abiram, and Korah came and said things to him. It was going to have an effect. Because now he didn't have that same spiritual armor. He didn't have that same divine reality that he had before. He didn't have the reality of God speaking to him. And when you don't have the reality of God speaking to you, you're going to start listening to what people say about you. It doesn't matter what people say about you. Unless they're your brothers and sisters. Yeah? Born for your day of adversity. Unless it's those people that God has predestined and ordained to be with you. To be your support mechanism around you, to help you in the warfare. And you can discern it because my sheep hear my voice. And it's the voice of the great shepherd speaking through his body to you. You know that it's true what this person is saying. But if you don't have on the full armor, friends, the flesh gets in the way. And we react in ways that we shouldn't. And when God was trying to minister a blessing to us, we block the blessing. Because we don't allow the full process to go through. That's what he says. He says, that's what men and women need today. This is in a hidden life. After you've been brought into the kingdom of God is a hidden life. A hidden life. Like Aaron behind the veil. Men and women who will get with Christ and the curtain drops around. You don't care what the world says. You don't care what people say. You're living in there with Christ, with the manna. You're eating from the golden pot of manna every day, day and night all the time. Living on the mountain under the cloudless sky. That's the reason, brethren, we're holding up the adoption of God. Whenever the prophet says, that's the reason, we should stop and really pay attention. Because the messenger's diagnosing the case. And he's saying, that's the reason, brethren, we're holding up the adoption of God. Yeah? Our difference of life, fussing and quarreling among one another. We're so interested in our denominations. We're interested in what the next fellow says. What is that to you? Follow thou me, Jesus said. Follow me, Peter, follow me. Don't worry about John. You follow me. I'm speaking to you now, Peter. Don't go and ask me, what about this man? No, 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 that's got nothing to do with it. What I'm saying to you now is important. Put full attention to what I'm saying to you. Don't worry about him. What is that to you? Follow thou me. That's what Jesus said to Peter. The prophet says when it's an individual affair between every minister, every son and daughter of God. He says we ought to get alone to ourselves. Pray. Before he does anything, get alone with God in a quiet place, hidden away with Christ. The veil coming down. Oh, friends, what a life. That's why he preaches hidden life. That's putting on the whole armor. That's your hidden life. That's where you get the armors in that dimension, that hidden life. And Satan knows that. And that's why he wants to come and bring us out from that place. Look in 2 Corinthians. Let's get to the topic before we finish. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 4. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. Casting down imaginations. So the very first thing we need to cast down is imaginations. We've got weapons. We've got spiritual armor. We're desiring truth to strike the soul. But one of the things that's going to be in the way, the first thing that Paul speaks about is imaginations. Now, another translation of the same word is speculations. Now, a speculation or an imagination is the process of careful studying and reasoning to arrive at a conclusion. Can you see why the prophet says Satan chose the mind? Because decisions are made in the mind. So he's going to try to get in here. He's going to try to get into your imagination. This process of thought, yeah, that you go through before you come to a conclusion. It also means a train of thought formed by meditation. That's an imagination. A train of thought formed by meditation. That's why the Lord said to Joshua, meditate there in day and night. Then you'll make your way prosperous. Because if you're feeding on the word, like Joshua, feeding on the word, meditating on the word, the decisions that you're going to make are going to be right. But Satan knows that as well. Imagination is a view of a subject not verified by fact. It's in your imagination. You know, it's the way you're thinking about something. You're going through a process of thought. That sister didn't greet me last week. She didn't greet me again this week. I think that sister doesn't like me. That's an imagination now. The final one. Imagination is opinions arrived at through speculating. Without knowing the complete facts or having evidence. How the prophet explains in the everlasting life, he says, you just imagine that somebody hates you once and they don't hate you. But you imagine that they do and you just keep thinking, they don't like me. The first thing, you'll be shunning that person. Because imagination precedes decision, precedes action. So in this realm, you can actually build up an image in your mind that is so real to you. You're living in a world. You've built up this world. You've built up something in your imagination. It's so real to you because you've been meditating on it, thinking about it, feeding with the facts that you have chosen to be facts. And yet, it's a false world. It's not real. What is that? That's a stronghold. Satan's establishing a stronghold. That's how he establishes his strongholds. The prophet says the first thing you'll be shunning that person when they haven't done anything to you. And after a while, it becomes so a reality to you until you'll actually believe that that person doesn't like you. Now, I wouldn't put up my hand here and say, who's guilty of this? I think we need to put up and say, who's not guilty of this? We've all been guilty of this. And then when you go and sit down with that person, when God opens the way, and actually go and sit down and speak to that person, you feel embarrassed about your thoughts. You say, but how could I have made conclusions like that? How could I have allowed it to go so far? And it wasn't just in my mind, it was affecting my attitude. It was affecting the way I behaved myself to that person. And friends, it takes a mighty spiritual person when you've built it up like that for you not to influence other people to start thinking the same way as well. And then you can have a clique, you can have a whole group of people, yeah, who have an attitude, who have come to a decision without any fact. But God is good. Because he'll never leave his children like that. He'll come and he will demolish that thing. He will come at some stage and he will say, it's time for me to wage warfare against this because you're not going any further in that condition. Amen. And then he allows something to happen. Maybe that person does something real good to you. And you say, but hey, that doesn't make sense. That doesn't fit my worldview. That doesn't fit my reality. My reality is that person hates me, but they've just sacrificed time, effort, maybe money, whatever it is, to help me. And now you can't reconcile the two things. It shows, friends, Satan's been at work. Because that was speculation. That was imagination. That wasn't reality, friends. So many times our imagination doesn't correspond with reality. That's how the prophet said it's so easy to build a complex. You just keep thinking down a certain way. He says, you better stop. Come back and check it with the word. Bring it back to reality and you'll see. But yes, Satan took me far. The prophet built up in his imagination an image that I'm going to be a prophet like the Old Testament prophets. I'm not going to live 1,500 miles back from civilization in the wilderness. And I'll trap my wife into it. I'll be the best guide that there's ever been. People will come from all over for me to be a guide. And then if God wants me to do something, of course. I'll just get in my car and drive 37 hours from and go and pray for somebody and then drive 37 hours back up the Alaska Highway. It was so real to the prophet. And then the Lord had to come and say, if you follow those plans, you'll be a bum. He had never imagined that the end of that thought process was he was going to be a bum. And then the voice said, and your wife will leave you. She won't stay up there like that. He never thought that that thought process was going to break up his family. Oh, friends. And it needed the angel to come down in the car to show him truth, to reveal the reality, to say, but no. Did I not tell you, call you in the beginning, do the work of an evangelist? I've called you in the apostolic form. You're far higher calling than those Old Testament prophets. I've given you far greater gifts than them. And then the prophet started to see things the way that God saw them. And started realizing, but I went far in this process in my mind. I built up this solution in my imagination. Thinking this was the solution to all the anguish, all the distress. And friends, all of us have been there. We've all come to this age there, but I think if I do that, I'm going to have some relief. And then the Lord has to come and reveal to you to say, that's the worst thing you could ever do inside of your life. That's not the solution at all. The solution is never to leave the field of duty. Anything that comes to take you off the field of battle, it's not the divine solution. It's the enemy. He's wise. He'd be saying, come off that field of battle. Yeah, come away. Because he knew the weapons the prophet had were destroying his kingdom. So he had to come and work in that realm in the mind of the prophet. Go to the next one, bro. He knows, I've got to get this man off the battlefield. No, come. You'll be a good hunting guide. Come. Brother Bud's up there. Can't you see God's provided exactly the right place? And all of these natural things seem to be fitting in, but all that it is, it's the devil trying to build a stronghold. To try to get this man away from his calling, to try to hinder him from expressing the fullness of what he was called for. And when the angel came down in the car, think of what did the Lord do to him? He showed him a mountain. Why did he show him a mountain? Because God was showing him, my thoughts never change. Yeah. When this world was formed, here's your ministry. And in your ministry, there's valleys. Be careful in those valleys. And there's mountain peaks. And there's a beginning and there's an end. And there's an aim and an objective. And I'm moving you through these things to get you there. I've never changed. What's changed is in your mind. But it hasn't changed in my mind. My thoughts are still the same. I'm not looking for another prophet to fulfill Malachi 4. I'm not looking for another Revelations 10:7. You're the man. It's never changed in me. And God had to come and reveal that to him. Then the prophet saw, but oh, what have I been thinking? You see how far we can go in our imaginations, friends. We've got to be careful of these things. Come back and bring it back. Take it back to the continuity of God's working with you. Can God build you up, and then one day you just jump straight off? I don't know if that makes sense. Yeah? God's leading and you can see things are progressing in your calling, and then one day hard situation comes. People speak against you. Things are hard. You jump ship. Would that really fit God's way of doing things? No. Think about it. No. Never. God takes you through it. God strengthens you through it. God better equips you when you go through it. That's what it's got to be. God never ever does. The prophet says, can you imagine an artist painting a great masterpiece and finishing up half of the masterpiece and taking and throwing it away? Would it make sense? And what about this divine symphony that we're in? What about this great eternal composition? Our friends, let's be careful of our imaginations. Amen. Let's be careful of this thought process. Let's be careful when you're lying on our beds at night and somebody said something against us who was anointed maybe at that time not from the right realm, and we start entertaining it. Amen. And we start going further and further. Then we now start to speculate. It becomes an opinion. Then it becomes a belief. Then it becomes an attitude. Then it becomes a behavior. And then now whenever we see that person, we avoid them. But you know what it is the devil hates? For you just to go and sit down with that person. Simple. Simple. To pray and go and sit down and say, brother, if you can forgive me, I was really thinking that you hate me. I really thought you hated me. And the truth will set you free. You know, it's amazing when the light just shines in. When you just sit down and you just fellowship and the grace of God comes down in the quietness of things. It just completely changes where you say, but hey, I never ever thought it was like that. That's how God works, friends. Listen now about the strongholds. We'll take a few more minutes. Proverbs chapter 18, verse 19. This is now this great source of problem where it comes in. Proverbs 18, verse 19. A brother offended is harder to be won than a strong city. That's a stronghold here. You can offend a brother and it becomes such a stronghold in their life. Now, like I said, I've took it from the beginning to show the two sides. Sometimes it's genuine. Sometimes a person was anointed of the devil. But sometimes it wasn't. It's misunderstanding. Sometimes it's just our imagination. Sometimes it's just darkness that has come into our thought process and taken advantage of us when we're down in the valley. Think of John the Baptist. At one stage, he had on the whole armor of God. He says, I'm not worthy to latch his shoes. The one who comes is mightier than I. He's coming with a fan in his hand. He's going to thoroughly purge his floor. Take the corn into the garner, the wheat into the garner, yeah? purge the floor with unquenchable fire. Yet such a reality. Who are you, John? I am the voice of one crying in the wilderness. Prepare ye the way of the Lord. He knew he was. The voice that spoke to me said, the one on whom you see the dove descending, the spirit descend and remain, he's the one. I must decrease, he must increase. Then he goes from the mountain into the valley. And now he's in prison. And the prophet says, John in prison, that was a horrible experience for him. In forgotten beatitude. It was a horrible experience. It was a trauma to him. It was a situation he never expected. He's an eagle. He wants to be flying free. But now he's captured and he's put in the cage. And the prophet says he didn't have his Bible. Yeah. Maybe they just throw a little bit of dry bread to him once in a while. And what happened? The eagle eyes got formed over. The armor slips now. And the prophet says, and the devil got to him there. And now he started to question. Now the imagination started. Now Satan wants to bring a stronghold here. Now Satan wants to make John renounce Jesus. That was his aim. Make him renounce him. And it goes on inside of his mind. And the prophet says it wearied him. It troubled him to say, but hey, I thought the Messiah was coming with a fan in his hand. He was going to burn these things up. But when I see this man, he's so meek, he's so gentle, he's a friend of tax collectors, he's a friend of publicans and sinners. You see, it didn't seem to fit his understanding, and John starts to meditate now when he's in his valley, when he's in the prison now. And he almost got to the stage that he didn't believe the message anymore. But he was wise. He sent for help to the support mechanism. Whenever you've been through trauma, if you have post-traumatic stress disorder or critical incident stress, whatever, yeah? You've been through things that you don't understand, horrible experiences. One of the most important things that can help you work through that and come out the other side is a support mechanism. But when you isolate yourself, you perish in that kind of a condition. It becomes far worse than it ever had to be. You need a support mechanism, especially people that have been through this similar thing before. Some of the most virtuous people in life in the world, yeah, are people that have been through trauma, lost children in horrific ways when they were young, went through all kinds of abuse, all kinds of cruelty and suffering. And then by the grace of God, they come through it. And now they can minister to other people. And those are the kinds of people that we need, friends. And that's why in the body of Christ, we've got all manners of backgrounds, all manners of traumas we've been through, difficulties we've been through, hardships, cruelty, all sadness and sorrow and trials, whatever it is. You're going to find there's somebody that's going to understand. Somebody's going to understand, but what's the evil one going to try to do? He's going to try to separate you to yourself, to build a stronghold, to build walls around yourself, to say, nobody understands me. Nobody understands what I'm going through. I think I'm the only one. Does God really love me if I go through all these kind of things? Do like John, seek for help. Amen. He sent to Jesus. He sent to Jesus. And he says, are you the one? He was doubting. Are you the one to come or should we look for another? And then what did Jesus do? Sent him the word. Amen. The lame walk. The blind see. The poor have the gospel preached to him. Yeah? According to Isaiah 61. The acceptable year of the Lord. And John was delivered. The truth set him free. Friends, it's such an important principle. Be careful of your imagination. Check it with the word. Bounce it off spiritual people. Don't let it take you too far down in your decision-making process. Just you and those dark thoughts. Because a dark shadow would have come in. Listen to Brother Blair. We know Brother Blair. I just found this, yes. I never understood that the prophet actually had it in the message. A greater than Solomon is here, hot springs. It's a prayer line. And this man comes before the prophet. The prophet doesn't really know him. He's a minister, Richard Blair. Do you believe God? How many of you believe him? Listen, my friend. A greater than Solomon is here. the high priest that can be touched by the feelings of infirmities. Do you believe him? And the brother says, amen. He says, and by the way, you're facing a nervous breakdown. Listen, now the prophet in the spirit says to him, you're facing a nervous breakdown. Get away from it. Flee from it. There was a certain something he's been through. The prophet even explains. A certain blow this man took. A certain something that came to smite his confidence in Brother Branham. Yeah? And he allowed now the stronghold to start to be built inside of his thoughts. And now there was a darkness, we'll see. There was actually a darkness in the spiritual world affecting this man in the way that he thought. Get away from it. Flee with your life. Run quickly. Lay the things that's in the past in the past. Aha. Aha. This is what's leading him to a breakdown. Because the devil's come and has taken things from his past. And is anointing those things in his present. And the angel of the Lord had to speak to the prophet, say, run. Flee from those things. Leave the things in the past in the past. And look to God. Then he says, you're a minister of the gospel. Yes, I talked to you this morning. The prophet actually met him, just naturally. You didn't know what it was, and I didn't know what it was. But I see it now. You are coming to a breakdown. The devil is putting everything in your mind, trying to get you to turn against even me. Now think of these multitudes that have left the message. Think of all these people that are making websites and William Branham was a false prophet and all that. Oh, for what was it? It was a darkness. It was a devil playing in the imagination. And they've built this reality inside of their minds that this isn't the message of the hour. This isn't the prophet for the day. And that reality was so real that it caused them to blaspheme God. The very God they think they're serving. But they speak against it. And that's causing them to fight against the very program of God. That's how powerful our imagination is, friends, when the devil has access to it. When we don't put on the whole armor of God. When we give him access, when we start fellowshipping with this darkness, he builds these strongholds. And be careful, because that stronghold can be very strong in the end. And very difficult to break down if you're not careful. Says the devil's putting everything in your mind, trying to get you to turn against me. That's right. That's thus saith the Lord. Forget it. Tell him he's a liar. Accept it right now. And it'll leave you. It'll never come back. You'll be a free man. I challenge you to believe these things. He says, the man came to me this morning asking, and I didn't know, but I see it. Right here it is before him. Look at that dark shadow just moving in and out. It is a minister of the gospel. But we still have a carnal mind if you're not careful. We still have a human spirit. We still have a battlefield that he's going to wage warfare against us. He's going to try to take every advantage that he can. And the prophet says, but now the thing has left him. That's right. Hallelujah. Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. That's in June 63. Now, November 63, we'll finish with this quote. He that is in you, he says, I just got a call. He says, calls out Brother Blair from the audience. He's sitting in the congregation. He says, his wife called me.
Yes, sir.
Yeah? Amen. This is 5 months later. His wife called me. Amen. The man was all swelled up in his side.
Yes, sir.
A high fever, dying. The same man that was called out in the Hot Springs meetings, which is the quote I just read you, Brother Blair. And the Holy Spirit called that young fellow and told him the devil was trying to get him to renounce me, to say that I was a false prophet. Something had been said, something had been done in that man's imagination. He got to the stage, he was just about convinced Brother Branham was a false prophet. Until the Logos came down. Until the truth came, until discernment came, divided between the soul and the spirit, and the man was set free. But the devil knew He was going to smite the man 5 months down the way. The prophet says, and the man witnessed it was the truth. You see what the devil was doing. The man doesn't go to doctors, but Satan knew this disease was going to strike him and he could kill him right there. So he was trying to get him to renounce me. And the Holy Spirit in grace called him out, the man being a stranger, and told him not to do that. This is the battle we're in, friends. It's a real battle. Satan's planning well ahead inside of your life. He was planning ahead in this man's life. And he could see the one thing that was standing between his plans and God's plans was the message of the hour. Was the prophet. And he said, if I can separate this man from this man who's got this gift, who's got these mighty weapons that are mighty to the pulling down of strongholds, I'll have this man. And friends, just like John in prison, he almost persuaded him to do it. He almost said, and it took the grace of God. Oh, let's be careful, friends. Let's be transparent. Let's be pure in heart. If we're thinking down a certain way, let's be honest about it. You know, like that's why I brought up criticism in the beginning. If there's something you don't agree with, come, let's reason together. Yeah, sometimes it stings a little bit at first. But something that's given in the right spirit, hey, it's wonderful. It helps us to fix those spots that need to be fixed. It helps us to put these things in order. That's what he says. Now, let's read a scripture before we close. Like I said, when you go through your battle, make sure the whole armor of God is on. That's what you can do. But also keep the support mechanism around you. Stay in the body. Stay in fellowship with the body. Don't just choose certain people that are also in the same kind of condition that you are. And you feed each other's imaginations and you're just like Ananias and Sapphira. You all perish in the end. You don't want it to be like that. Allow the Spirit of the Lord to minister you back into a balance. Give him an opportunity. Look at this one here. Psalm 69. We'll finish with these scriptures here. This would be a very sad condition to be in, friends. David, and this was actually speaking of the sufferings of Christ, Psalm 69. He says in verse 16, David's crying in his distress, and he says, hear me, O Lord, for thy loving kindness is good. Turn unto me according to the multitude of your tender mercies. And hide not your face from your servant. For I'm in trouble. Hear me speedily. Draw nigh unto my soul and redeem and deliver me because of mine enemies. Thou hast known my reproach and my shame and my dishonor. Mine adversaries are all before thee. Reproach has broken my heart. And I'm full of heaviness. And I looked for some to take pity, but there was none. And for comforters, but I found none. Oh, friends, that's a sad situation. When you're in the midst of that kind of a trouble, when people are saying things and all these things are happening, and you come to a stage, you say, but if only I had somebody that could sympathize. If only I had somebody who could understand, somebody that I could speak to about these kind of things. Because reproach has broken my heart. My spirit is full of heaviness. And that's in the other psalm, when he says, oh, that I had wings like a dove, that I might fly away. But that's not it, friends. Look in Psalm 37. This was real good counsel. When you're in the midst of your trials, when Satan's trying to use people against you and situations against you. Psalm 37, verse 1. We'll finish with this. The Psalm of David. Fret not yourself because of evildoers. What is it to fret? To be hot, to be furious, to burn, to become angry, to be kindled. No. So when evildoers do their evil, don't focus on that. Go and put on the whole armor of God. Go and let the curtain shut behind you once again. Go and let your commission be real. Go and let his presence be real. Go and let his voice be real. Go and let your armor be a substance once again. Be careful at that kind of a time. Fret not yourself because of evildoers. Neither be thou envious against the workers of iniquity. For they shall soon be cut down like the grass and wither as the greener. Verse 3. Trust in the Lord and do good. Don't leave the field of battle. When the enemy is waging warfare against you, just gird up the loins, get the shield higher, and say, aha, if you want war, it's war. Do good. You know those times when you're dark and you're just feeling discouraged and you're feeling down and you just don't really feel like going on? You know the best thing to do? Do something for the Lord. That's the best thing. Phone somebody, text somebody, send someone a scripture. Tell somebody about Jesus and see how it transforms that situation. See how those whole atmosphere changes around you. See how your whole worldview will change by doing that. But Satan wants to keep you to yourself and play in your imaginations and keep you in that realm. Trust in the Lord and do good. So shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give you the desires of thine heart. Commit thy way unto the Lord. Amen. Go and speak to him about it like David would do. Go and pour out your heart before the Lord. Go like Jesus in Gethsemane when it was hard. The battle in his mind was raging. He was feeling, I don't think I can go through with this anymore. And then he went to that battlefield, the battleground Gethsemane. And he wrestled in prayer. And he agonized in prayer. And then something changed inside. And then an angel came and strengthened him. And then he faced up to the battle. And things were so different. Verse 6. And he shall bring forth thy righteousness as the light, and thy judgment as the noonday. What is it saying? If people say evil against you, let God defend you. Don't take out your carnal weapons now of revenge and malice and, you know, gossip against that person. It says, delight yourself in the Lord. Go and do good. Commit your way to the Lord. He will bring forth your light as the noonday. He will show who's right and who's wrong in the issue. Commit your ways to him. Be unconscious of it. That's what the prophet says. When people are speaking against you, walk with God. You'll be unconscious of the things that people say. Verse 7, rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him. Fret not thyself. Don't get yourself worked up. Don't get yourself worried. Don't think about the things too much. See how he keeps on telling us, don't fret yourself. Fret not yourself because of him who prospers in his way, because of the man who brings wicked devices to pass. Verse 8, cease from anger. Forsake wrath. The weapons of our warfare are not carnal. Fret not yourself in any wise to do evil. That is sound counsel, friends. That is sound counsel. No matter what you go through, if you can do that, you're going to have the devil baffled with you like he was baffled with Job. Now the devil's going to look at you and say, but what can I do with this person? I get everyone to speak against him. I get everyone to criticize him. Everything goes wrong. And the person still worships God. Still maintains integrity. Still continues on the battlefield. Just tightens the armor more. Makes sure they're deeper in the Shekinah presence. Feeds a little bit extra upon the manor at that time. Ah, friends. You're going to make it to the end. You're going to make it to the end by the grace of God. You're going to be like a tree planted by the rivers of water. Your leaves aren't going to wither. You're going to continue in fellowship even in your hard time. Your fruit isn't going to drop unseasonally. You're going to bring forth his fruit in his season. Oh, friend, is that not our desires, friends? That's why casting down imaginations. Look inside of your thought process now as we'd come to pray. Are there strongholds being built? Are there strongholds being built between you and other people, you and the Lord? You know, you and the purpose of God inside of your life. Get yourself back in his presence. Put on the whole armor. And come with those mighty weapons that are mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds and wage warfare against that. And if you need help, if you need support, if you need other people to help, our friends, Jesus took Peter, James, and John to go and pray with him in his great hour of need. God has people there. Don't allow him to isolate you. Don't allow him to bring you to that place of vulnerability that you just think that it's me and nobody understands me. That's a lie of the devil, friends. And we need to see that as a lie of the devil. He careth for you. And the prophet says, he cares. Do you care? Let's stand. There's much more that could be said, but we'll leave it there. What we're desiring is the healing of the soul. We're wanting on the whole armor of God. We want divine reality in the things that you do. Friends, that is the weapon. That is the protection against anything which the enemy would do. Let's sing that song. We'll understand it better by and by.
By and by, when the morning comes, when all the saints of God are gathered, we will tell a story how we overcome. Oh, we'll understand it better by and by.
We are often tossed and driven on the sea of time, somber skies and hollowing tempests of succeeded bright sunshine in the land of perfect day. Oh, when the mists have rolled away, we will understand it better by and by. I know by and by. Oh,
sweet in the sweat, by and by.
Bible says God commended his love for us in this, and that when we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. We can't doubt his love, friends. The Bible says he's a high priest who can be touched by the feelings of our infirmities. Why? Because he's been through it. Imagine the trauma that Jesus went through. Imagine the mental anguish that he went through for him to sweat blood. The Bible says you have not yet endured such a contradiction of sinners. Yeah? You have not yet endured unto blood. That's how when we speak to him, he understands. Because he's been there. He knows what it's like to feel forsaken, to say, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? He knows what it's like. That's why He can be touched. And that's why it says, let us come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain help in time of need. David told us, commit your ways unto the Lord. Pour out your heart before Him. Speak to Him. He cares. He cares. Let's approach Him in prayer. Let our faith, let's be like Bartimaeus, at the cry from the soul, because Jesus with that crowd could never have heard the voice of Bartimaeus. But when he cried out as a Jew, he says, thou son of David, have mercy upon me. The Bible says Jesus stood still. Oh, you can touch Him today. As the song that Brother John sometimes sings says,
amen.
Bartimaeus, stop the sun.
Amen.
You can stop the sun as well. Let's all call upon His name, friends. Let's come before Him. Let's be honest and sincere before Him. Let's come unto the altar of grace. Let's use this time and this opportunity. He'll never disappoint you. Let's all pray. To baptism. I'll ask Brother Will just to come and close this part of the service, if you'd be kind enough. Let's keep our heads bowed. Whatever your petition that you have, let's agree together. On earth, Jesus said, and it shall be done in heaven. Come, brother.
Heavenly Father, Almighty God, we are thankful, Lord. We thank you, Lord Jesus, for here, right here, in the preaching of the word. Lord, it wasn't knowledge only, Lord, but it was the breaking down of strongholds. And Lord, we receive it as such, O God. We pray to this afternoon, O God, that this word may not only end as knowledge in our minds, Lord, but that it would achieve the thing that you have sent it for. For Lord, indeed you have looked from heaven, Father, and you have seen the affliction of your people, Father, and you have desired not to leave us in that place, but you have come, Lord, and you have done something in exposing the kingdom of darkness,
amen.
Lord, and it has lost its power in the lives of your people. So we want to thank you this afternoon, oh God, that Father, you have set us free once again. The enemy had desired to put us under bondage, and indeed for a long time many of us had been under such a bondage, Lord. But Father, you are ever graceful and merciful unto us, in that Father, you have come down with thy word this morning. Father, you have seen, Lord, how the enemy had done it, Lord. Father, and you have come and you have set many free. Lord, we thank you, Lord. Father, let it be that as we go, Lord, Father, with this, Lord, weapons that we have been clothed with, Father, that we may not lay them down again, but that we may hold them, oh God, that when He comes again to try and make us to stay in our reasoning minds, Lord, that we would refuse it, and that, Father, we would rise up from that realm into the realm of the soul and abide there, oh God. I pray, oh Lord, Father, for every brother, every sister here, Lord, that Father, oh God, had heard this complex in their lives, that Lord, oh God, you would help us, Father, to be humble enough, oh God, and accept thy word, to be humble, oh God, and let your word have its effect completely in our lives, that as we live here, Lord, Father, we may look, Lord, through only the filter of thy word towards our brethren and our sisters, Lord. Lord, that we may see the enemy that had been trying to hide and kick him out, oh God. Amen. Have mercy, Lord, upon every family. Lord, I pray for every brother and sister in their marriage, Lord. Yes, Lord. For many times he also tries to do this thing between husband and wife. Yes. I pray, Lord, thanking you that you have broken such barriers, oh God. Yes, Father, help us, Lord, that from this word, Father, we may build every family in the way that it's supposed to be set up, Lord, and that when that love is flowing in the family, Lord, let it overspill as well into the church, Lord, amen. And that, Father, we all walk in the way that we are supposed to walk, yes, Lord. Help us, Father. Lord, that, Father, we may let you restore, Lord, the unity that the enemy had stolen. Yes. Father, that we may let you, Lord, hallelujah, have complete way, Father. Yes. Lord, with us, oh Lord, let it not be me, oh God, that would, amen, stand in the way of your work. Amen. But I want, Lord, yes, to be a stepping stone. Yes. Lord, not a stumbling block before, amen, thy people. Yes. Lord, I know is the desire of every person here, Lord. Yes. So what could ever hinder us, Lord, Father, to coming to that perfect unity? Lord, oh God, help us, Father, that whatever it is that has been exposed today, Father, that we cast it down, Lord, amen, and refuse it all right, Father, that, Lord, you may have your way with us, oh God. Amen. We thank you, Father. Bless our pastor, Lord. Father, these things are not easy to stand and to speak. Father, the enemy knows, Lord, that these are his strongholds, and he would try to attack our pastor. Yes. Lord, to try and discourage him from these things. Yes, even, Lord, as we have seen in the sickness of the son over the, amen, night. Lord, it was only the devil, Lord.
Yes,
but Lord, Father, we thank you that you have prevailed against him.
Amen.
And we pray now that you encourage our pastor.
Yes.
Lord, that you strengthen him, Lord. Hallelujah. And that you continue to use him, Lord, yes, to wage this war, Lord.
Amen.
Father, using thy word as a sword to, yes, cut down the enemy. Bless, Lord, Father, every brother, every sister,
please,
that stands in their post of duty, Lord. Father, despite, Lord, the discouragements, Lord, despite the enemy trying to discourage them, but,
amen,
Father, we thank you, Lord, that you are always holding them, Lord, and using them, Father,
yes,
Lord, to break the power of the enemy.
Amen.
Father, be with us this afternoon. Lord, even as we go now into baptism, I pray,
yes,
Father,
Lord,
that you'll be in this portion of the service as,
amen,
well. May you bid us, Lord, to go home well, Lord, together and fellowship on these things,
please,
Lord, and learn, Lord, Father, to meditate on that which is good.
Amen.
Father, that when we would come next time, Lord, you'd continue to bless us.
Please,
we, Lord, ask it, Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen.
Amen. Thank you so much, Father. God bless you, brother. Amen. Amen. Let's sing one song and worship. We're glad to come to baptism. I think Sister Dube is really happy today. See two of her children.
Amen.
And it's been a while, you know. They were both asking about baptism.
Amen.
Yes. Amen. They're both asking about baptism for quite some time. And sometimes it's a good thing just to wait and see if there is the perseverance there. You know, so it's not something which is just a passing something. And I'm really glad that both of them really, really desire to serve the Lord. So let them go and prepare now, if they would, the two of them. And let's worship the Lord as we come.
These are the days of Elijah. The dry bones become as fish. And these are the days of your servant Moses. Righteousness begins. And those are the days of the giants. Of famine and darkness and sorrow. Thank you.
Hallelujah.
How great is our God? Sing with me, how great is our God? And no one see our great. How great is our God? How great.
Chapter 16 again. To fulfill the Great Commission.
Amen.
It's verse 15. And he said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature.
Amen.
It doesn't put an age limit there. Now, all us in baptism, people want to bring an age limit. I know Daniel's asking about baptism as well. And sometimes you find, like Katana, we speak about age, but age has got nothing to do with it. Now, you think of Samuel, how young he was when he served the Lord.
Amen.
You think of John the Baptist when he was filled with the Holy Ghost from his mother's womb. Mm. You know, it's nothing to do with age. It's to do with something in the heart.
Amen.
I remember Brother Lonnie Jenkins said that once. He said, you've got to be so careful when the children are younger like that. He says, when they have the burden and they have the desire, if you keep putting it off, they lose the burden.
Amen.
You know, it's like that balancing act. They're trying to find out, you know, is this something which is real? Is the Lord really doing something here?
Mm.
Well, you know, sometimes maybe we err on the side of caution too much, when I don't think that we should. You know, I think when the Lord is dealing with somebody, yeah, and somebody, you find a young child, you know, somebody, a young teen, it's not natural for them to desire the things of God.
That's right.
This world is full of children the same age as the two that have been baptized, say, that are so full of the world and the devil, they never think about God. But when you find two young ones, that now they're being attracted to the kingdom of God, And they're persistent about it. And they're asking about it. And they're asking about it. And they're asking about it. Friends, I would say the best thing is just to submit. And let us fulfill all righteousness today. And come to the baptism. Verse 16, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. Again, it doesn't put an angel in the thing. It's he that believeth and is baptized. That's the condition for baptism. But he that believeth not shall be damned. And these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name they shall cast out devils, they shall speak with new tongues, etc. It's wonderful. Let's pray. Father, I come before thee, Lord. And I thank you, Lord, for this day. I thank you, Father, that you foresaw it. I thank you that you foreordained it. I thank you that you predestined it, Lord. I thank you, Father, for your little son and your little daughter today. That, Father, have desired to go, Lord, to fulfill all righteousness. Decisions have been made. Father, prayers have been prayed. And now we come unto the baptism. I really ask of thee, Lord, that you'll take both of Sister Dubi's children. And, Father, raise them up and use them as an example, Father, of your grace. Of what you can do, Father, in the life of even a young one that would be submissive and surrendered unto you. Father, we think of you when you came in the flesh at a young age in the temple, confounding the priests. Oh, Father, what a wonderful thought that it is. Let it be so with our children. Thank you that you are working in the lives of our children. And how we take this opportunity, Lord, just to pray, Amen. Father, to apply that token once again. And to ask that you'd continue to work, that you'd continue to lead, that you'd continue, Father, to bring each and every one of our young ones as our inheritance into your kingdom, Father, safely under the blood, because we see the death angel in the land. And Father, we desire your mercy. So bless this baptism, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. God bless you, saints. Let's do the baptism. Amen. Let's do Ghostbusters.
That you alone can give, Lord,
yes,
to withstand the evils of this day.
Yes.
And having done all to stand, use her as a witness, use her as a light, use her as an example. Confound the wise, confound the mighty, Lord. Father, protect her and bless her.
Amen.
May she always look back to
Amen.
Her. And may she give you the glory, and may she be glorified.
Amen.
Amen.
You see the call that you put inside of him, Lord, to call him, Lord, from all the darkness that you've been up. Father, you've called him, Lord, to be a witness. You've called him, Lord, to be a testimony. And at this time, Lord, we know that it's not by power, it's not by might, but you said it's by your Spirit. So, Father, I pray, even at this time, Lord, let your Spirit come upon him. May you fill him, Lord, Father, within the veil. May you lead him and guide him, Lord, to the reality of hidden life.
Amen.
That, Father, when the enemy would come in like a flood, that, Father, Lord, you would raise up inside of him, Lord, to challenge the enemy, Lord, we pray.
Yes.
Father, may you deliver him from evil. And Father, Lord, may you open the eyes of his understanding.
Yes.
Father, Lord, may this be a turning point.
Amen.
That, Lord, Father, you may open the heavens to him as well. That, Father, Lord, you'd reveal in such a special way. May he be blessed and may he be a blessing. Father, may he be different because you are in him and you are with him, Lord. And may, Lord, those that are ordained unto life be attracted, Lord, by what you are doing in and through him, Lord. Bless him this day, we pray. In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Praise the way to Lord, praise the way to inside, oh Lord. To you who abides, may no evil thing, praise the way to inside, oh Lord. Oh Lord, you hear our prayer.
one of them. Are you glad today you're one of them? I'd rather be one of them than one of them. With the people and all the things that are taking place, one of them. Let's have the devil on the run. Amen. You want to have the initiative inside of your life. So if you can see darkness, wage war. Amen. Don't sit back and wait for that darkness to wage warfare against you. It's already waging warfare against you. You've got to gird up your loins, put on the armor. You've got to get yourself anointed and go and wage warfare against that darkness. It's not going to leave on its own. You're going to have to kick him down. So let's kick him down and you ask for a message.
Kick him down. Kick him down, have the devil on the run. The Son of God must not be turned out, so kick him down, kick him down, kick him down, have the devil on the run. The Son of God must not be turned out, so kick that number. Arise and shine, King Theophanes.
let's hold to his unchanging hand.
Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord, praise his name, and be garrisoned by prayer. Don't let the devil take your confidence or in your heart or fear. Don't you hate your brother, that's the root of bitterness. We've got to walk in that way of holiness, of holiness. Kick him down, have the devil on the run. The Son of God must not be trodden down, so kick him down, kick him down, kick him down, have the devil on the run. The Son of God must not be trodden down, so kick that. Cover your face, cover your feet with reverence and humility. Let's go into action with our humility. Stand flat-footed in your trials, though they may be sometimes mean. Always remember to call Jesus and say, remember every day, that token on display. It's an act of love, so follow that dove. That's no white dove, that's no white dove. Kick him down, have the devil on the run. The Son of God must not be trodden down, so kick him down, kick him down, kick him down. Have the devil on the run. The Son of God must not be trodden down, so kick that number. Unconquered by tradition, in this day we stand. Like Joshua and Caleb, we are going to take our land. But brother, it won't be easy. It's not a flowery bed of ease. Remember that old devil, he will take your squeeze. Don't let him have your blue, wondering what you're gonna do. For we on that seventh peak, so we'll just speak. We'll just speak. Kick him down, kick him down. Have the devil on the run. The Son of God must not be. Kick that bumper down, kick him down, kick him down, have the devil on the run. The Son of God must not be trodden down, so kick that bumper.
Yes, Father, it's just one thing. The trustees are asking for a few of the brethren to help us with some work after service upstairs. So please, if brothers could help, if you could stay a little bit after service just to help moving some things upstairs. Thank you very much.
Hallelujah.
Yes, Lord.
Oh, praise God. Dear Heavenly Father, we say thank you, God. We came here this morning, and even through this afternoon, Lord, you have spoken to us, Lord. Father, you said in all things we should give thanks.
Amen.
And Father, we thank you, you went to Calvary.
Amen.
And the Lord, you washed us and sanctified us by your blood, O God. Father, we thank you. You have not given us the spirit of this world, but the spirit which is of God.
Amen.
For us to know, Lord Jesus, the things that, O God, you have installed for us. And that is what we have received this morning, Lord. That we should take up our weapon.
Amen.
To fight the enemy, Lord.
Yes, Lord.
And Father, we thank you that the church has been given that authority now.
Yes, Lord.
And so, Lord, we uproot and pull down and destroy every high places of the enemy.
Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord.
That, Lord Jesus, we could plant and we could build, Lord.
Amen.
Father, we take up, Lord, the whole armor of God.
Yes, Lord.
And destroy all high places.
Yes.
Any imagination.
Amen.
That comes against the knowledge of God.
Yes.
Oh, we take the whole armor of God and bring down every works of Satan, pulling down images, groves where dwell wickedness. Father, we destroy them in the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen, amen.
And the Lord, we thank you, O God, that now we stand as a church together, Lord, amen, in harmony, and with one accord.
Yes.
And Father, now, as you lead in the battle, Lord Jesus, we know that, O God, your love will sweep over this church.
Yes, Lord.
That, Lord, when we see one another, we see Christ, Lord.
Amen.
Father, bless your church.
Please, Lord.
And let your church, oh God, be that living church that, Lord, you said you will present yourself, Lord.
Amen, amen, amen.
Without blemish, without spot, without wrinkle, a holy church that, Lord, we will stand, oh God,
amen,
against every violence of the enemy. Mm. We thank you, the Lord Jesus, this morning. Oh, you have brought us, Lord, to where we belong, oh God.
Amen, amen.
Father, thank you as we go. We commit, Lord Jesus, our going back into your hands.
Amen.
As you granted us many mercies from our various homes and brought us in here, Lord, we came in with the sunshine.
Yes, Lord.
But we are going back, Lord, with showers of blessings, Lord.
Amen.
Father, keep us safe on the road. And even, Lord, other road users, we don't know them, Lord.
Yes,
we
Lord.
Commit all of them into your hands.
Amen.
Grant each and everyone many mercies to their various homes, Lord.
Amen.
And Father, even as we arrive in our homes, Lord, you have sent out your word, O God.
Amen.
Father, let us continue to meditate upon this day and night, not looking to the left or to the right.
Hallelujah.
Oh, Lord Jesus, the circumstances around them.
Amen.
But Lord, we look at the promise, O God, that you have given to us this afternoon.
Amen.
Father, we thank you once again, giving the glory to you, the week that is before us.
Yes, Lord.
Lord, we commit into your hands.
Amen.
And Lord Jesus, every footstep that we take, we know the devil, the enemy will be challenging.
Amen.
But one thing we know, Lord, you have fought the battle for us.
Yes, Lord.
Amen.
And the enemy had no chance in any way, O God.
Amen.
Those who be going to work, Lord, we commit their working places,
Amen,
Lord, into your hands.
Lord.
Oh, children going to school in your hands.
Yes, Lord.
Oh, well, housewives in homes in your hands. Oh, all children, Father, in your hands, Lord.
Amen.
That the week of God will come back again, Lord, to say, Lord, of the truth, it has been your grace that has seen us through.
Amen.
Thank you. We bless you, Lord. Even as we raise our hands towards you.
Hallelujah.
You know our heart, Lord.
Yes, Lord.
If there is any darkness, Lord, in the name of Jesus Christ.
Yes,
Lord. Take those darkness away.
Amen.
Father, we ask it in the blessed name of the Lord Jesus Christ. We pray with all thanksgiving. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Thanks, Brian. God bless you to sleep. Amen. Let's just keep the weekend after next and pray Brother Crosby coming. I'm just waiting to hear his arrival time, and that's where we'll see how many services and so forth. But please, really keep those meetings in prayer, and may the Lord be with you. Amen. Let's sing.
Amen. I will go. Yeah.